Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar.
Welcome along to our last Camogie Extra podcast of the season, and what a finals day we had to go out on to talk us through all the action are Orla Keeling and Anne-Marie Hayes. You're so very welcome, guys. I know everybody was really happy to have such a good game and loads of talking points. We're going to get through them all now in this podcast, but I'm going to go to you first, Orla, because I know Cork were really heavy favourites. I don't think anybody, maybe bar Anne-Marie, tipped Galway going into the game, but just from their performance, what impressed you the most, Orla?
The way they just found a way to win in the last, 10 minutes when their backs were against the wall. But also that third quarter period, they came out of halftime and scored 1-4 to no reply. So what they were able to do, and like, it's so hard to do that. And I'll reference the junior game as well. And Tipperary came out of halftime and they didn't play at all against Leash in the first half and they switched it on. That's not easy to do. So for them to go out and be able to do that was huge. And I thought their bench was excellent. I thought they really found a way when Galway never let them get into their running game. And I thought that was just brilliant, the way they hit them. But Cork found a way around it. And that's what great teams do and their adjustments. And they were able to just grind out a win. And sometimes, unfortunately for Galway, that's just the way the final goes. And I just thought they were really clinical in the last couple of minutes and the way they managed the game and personnel on the pitch, the leadership on the pitch. There was a couple, we were talking there, a couple of times, people would have gone down with injuries to stop momentum, but that's what it takes, and you have to be cute on the day. And they were cute and they were ruthless, and that's why they were All-Ireland champions.
Yeah, they really were. But we spoke about Galway after the game as well, Anne-Marie, and they were so good. They brought the game to Cork. Col had a plan. He executed it and they executed it as best as they possibly could. But they really gave everything on the day. And like, ultimately, they were close to it too, Anne-Marie.
Oh my God, they were so close, Marie. To think, like, in the last couple of minutes, they had three wides themselves. They had two, three frees. I counted that scorable frees straight in front of the goals they should have got. That's 5 points. They lost by three. But I did feel at halftime, I said that to you, Marie, I thought that the energy and aggressiveness that Galway brought in the first 30 minutes to maintain that intensity for a whole game, was going to be so difficult. And then it kind of dropped, like the third quarter blitz for Cork. But like for Galway to come back, like Galway could have fell apart at that stage. And to be fair, I thought the character and resilience in both teams, like Cork were under serious pressure. They were being really tested. We talked about them not being tested. They were tested in the final. But they showed great character and huge leaders in their team as well. Aisling Thompson in particular, I thought around the middle of the field, threw her body around hugely, got onto a huge amount of ball. And as we had been talking about all year, their bench, Saoirse McCartan, to come on, she scored 2 points. Like her first point on the 53rd minute was an absolutely unbelievable score. She was under serious pressure from two Galway backs, out in the corner, pops the ball over the bar. And Clodagh Finn, I thought she was really busy when she came on, the little yellow helmet popping around. She had so much energy. And I felt that Galway maybe lacked that in the last 10 minutes. And like Galway, I just reminded me of 2011. We were up 4 points against Wexford and they came back. It was Ursula who stuck a ball in the back of the net. Never forget it. And that's what it reminded me of, because it's such a bitter disappointment. Losing an All-Ireland is awful, but losing an All-Ireland that you could have won is an absolute sickener entirely. But It was just hats off to the 30 players more, 35, 36 players and management that were involved. I thought Cathal Murray learned a huge amount from last year's semi-final. I think, it looked like they didn't run the ball into trouble as much. Anya Kane tried so badly to spray ball. She sprayed some brilliant ball out to Aoife Donoghue, Ciara Hickey there in the second half, 2 points off it, to avoid that Laura Tracy. But Laura Tracy in the last 10 minutes, she came out with a couple of vital, vital balls, and they were huge players for Cork in the last few minutes.
Yeah, they were. And just their setup then, Anne-Marie, like we were wondering what they were going to do. What did you think of the way Cathal set up his Galway string to try and counteract some of those Cork threats?
I suppose, first of all, he brought back Alwyn Rabbit on Saoirse McCarthy. She scored 3 points from play and was taken off. So like, do you say that's a success or not? Like she was on her toes the whole day. Like she had to sacrifice her own game to pick her up. She probably could have done more damage because she has been in absolutely unbelievable form for Cork. They left Laura Tracy sit back, and like we showed that at halftime, it was a mixed bag of sometimes they hit it in, and they really did try to avoid her, I thought. But in the second half, towards the end of the game, when they were getting tired, And to be fair, at times Galway were breaking forward, but they actually had no options. They didn't hit it inside because they knew she was there, but they were turned over because they had no option coming off the shoulder. So that happened once or twice. But I thought Niamh Kilkenny at midfield, Aoife Donoghue, the two of those girls, Aoife Donoghue in particular, covered every blade of grass in Port Park. I just watched the back last night. It was like, she was down the backs. The next thing, she was up in the forwards again. You know, I thought she played very, very well. And, you know, like, if you look at it, I suppose Galway, coming into it, people thought they were going to be well beaten. But I knew there was one big performance in Galway, but I just didn't know how close they would get. And they came very close.
Yeah, they really did. And their big players stepped up. And it was such a tough game, actually. Orla Anne-Marie, or Aisling Thompson, said that after the game, that it was the toughest All of Ireland final that they'd ever won. So it just shows you what Galway threw at that team.
They threw everything. They threw the kitchen sink at Cork, and they very nearly got over the line, and they probably deserved another shot at the day. I said about, I think there was 5 minutes left, I said, oh, lads, it's going to be a replay. And everyone was like, no. But I thought they were fabulous. They were just, and Aoife Donoghue to me was just sensational. Like, I think Adrian Sullivan tweeted that it was one of the greatest individual performances in All-Ireland final. I agreed with him. I thought she was just, as you said, Anne-Marie, she covered every blade of grass in Croke Park. She scored 4 points. Some of them were excellent points. I think we didn't clip out one of her best points, I think, in the second half. But what they did, and they threw everything at them, and the emotion that I'm sure came out after, because I'm sure they were absolutely wrecked. And I think we saw Aisling Thompson. She said she wasn't crying, but just the emotion that it came, brings out.
Like Aoife Donoghue, the hits she took, like, and Gabe as well. Yeah. I don't know how she was able to continue. You know, if you get winded, like, she was able to keep going, continue on. And in fairness, like, Laura Hayes as well, I thought she was very good at half back. You know, she came out a huge amount of ball too. But do you know what? It was just great for Camogie that it was a brilliant spectacle. Not great for the people who lose. And, like, we had that in the three finals. You know, like, the three finals could have been draws, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, the junior and the intermediate, like, a point in both of them. You know, it was just such a tight affair, and the last 10 minutes of the matches were so entertaining.
Absolutely. And that was, I thought, was the best advertisement all day. And it was even watching junior final, you were like, oh God, I kind of knew Tip were going to come back at halftime. I was like, geez, that'd be grand. And then the interfinal was brilliant. And then the senior final just topped it off. And I thought it was a brilliant advertisement. All three games. And it's glad you mentioned it.
27,811 was the attendance there, a little bit shy of last year's record attendance, but Waterford last year brought a huge crowd, and Galway, to be fair to them, have had a lot of All-Ireland finals, so it's a big ask to ask people to keep going to the well every single week to try and get the money to be going up to Croke Park. But just in general, I know we spoke about it in the studio a little bit, Anne-Marie, there was a slight disappointment that we can't keep pushing forward. It feels like the crowds are going back from maybe the days when yourself and Ursula and Anne-Marie played. What do you think?
Yeah, it is, of course, a disappointment. And I think they're making an effort. Like, they had, I think it was 3,000. Was it 3,000 under-14s? No? What, am I right in saying that? It was a huge amount of under-14s. Yeah. Was that right, Orla? 3,000, no?
1,800, I think. And then another
1,800. Right. Half that, okay. So 1,800 under-14s out on the pitch, getting them to come up. But, like, you know, if you saw, like, we saw last year when Waterford and Tip were in the semi-finals, Waterford brought a massive crowd because it was new. We saw Dublin in the semi-final. They brought, I think, 18 or 20 buses down from Dublin of young girls. Like, you know, so maybe it takes a new team to get to the final. Cork as well had two teams. I thought Cork were really well supported, but it was two of the same teams. Now, we had five different teams in it, but then it's a long day from 1 o'clock until 5:15. And I think that definitely affected it, like, for younger families and that to go up. So, like, I think that affected maybe that, especially from Galway as well, like, when there was three All-Ireland finals, let's not mention it, in the last 3 weeks. So some people could have been at the three of them if they liked, you know.
Yeah, look, I think that's all very fair. And there's a lot of work to be done, and I spoke about it actually on Saturday Sports a little bit, Orla, with Adrian on Saturday, just about the fact that we need more counties competing at that level. When we look at maybe the male counterparts and the likes of Clare and Limerick, and you'd love to see the same sort of investment or similar investment in their Camogie teams as well, just to try and get the levels up there, because there has to be the kids come from the same GAA family, so the opportunities need to be the same. The coaching needs to be better. They need to be able to develop their skills just like their brothers and sisters and cousins and all are. And I'd love to see the likes of the traditional counties just kind of getting up to that level so that we're starting off an All-Ireland season. And like the hurling, we don't know who's going to win because there's loads of counties in for it, but it just feels like we're kind of stagnant with the top three and maybe a fourth knocking on the door, but not really able to bridge that gap. Can you see it happening?
I think I can. I think the easy answer people are given is integration. I think that's, to me, is like, it's not an excuse, but we're kind of like, oh yeah, integration will sort that. Integration won't sort that. You have to start. And to me, it's the product. You have to look at it in the business sense. And Camogie have to realise about their product and they have to invest in the game. And they have to invest in a lot of things. And I think if integration was mentioned in speeches and stuff, but you're going to integrate, let's say, with GAA and ladies football, so it'd be a huge organisation, be massive undertask. But to get anything changed, then we love tradition, particularly in the GAA, and I think there's a lot of change that's needed. And if I'm the Camogie Association, and I know scores weren't changed, but if that was a change, if you took it upon yourself to have the opportunity to change something before integration, why not? And why not make a stance and make a stamp and be modern and keep up with the times and be the first person to change something? I know we're going to bring it up, but the officiating. What's our biggest evolution in officiating has been since when? Hawkeye. But that's not only available in certain stadiums. So do we look at something like that? Do you evolve it? But you need to invest in the product, I think, and entice people to come out on the All-Ireland final day, and maybe the 3 weeks in a row, maybe the timings. I'm not sure why it was a 5:15. There must be a reason behind that. But there needs to be more, I think, put in. And I thought the having the kids in the pitch, the 1800 was brilliant. Having the 100 captains, I think, was a really nice touch. But it's about building your product. And at the end of the day, if your product's good, people will come and watch it. And it's about enticing those fans that are hurling fans, that if when integration goes through, that will all be the one association. But again, if your product isn't good and if your product isn't exciting, then those fans won't come and watch. And that's my opinion of it anyway.
And yeah, well, the serious competition is the other side of it. Sorry, Marie, yeah. More of the serious competition now from other sports. Like Marie, I know your kids, like soccer is a huge competitor to GAA in Dublin. Rugby, you know, is a huge competitor. And sometimes it's because the skills are easier, and it's more accessible. But I think the GAA are starting to lose out to sports like that because they're growing as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. And even if we look at, or to just look at women's sport in general, you know, there's opportunities, way more opportunities now for girls. You can, as you said, go play soccer. You can play ladies football. You can go to Australia, play WAFL. There's sevens, there's hockey. There's so many sports now. There's opportunity everywhere if you want to play. And we just even look at the Olympics. Anyone that's looking for a little bit of sporting inspiration, you can find it there, because there's a sport for everybody now. And you're right, the GAA need to make sure that they're not sleepwalking into a situation where they're not attracting the talented, the top, the kids that want to go and play their sport, because at the end of the day, we need the product at the top level as well. We want to see brilliant matches. And we were lucky that we did this weekend with the Camogie. We don't always get them. I can't say that the ladies football final was the best game I've ever seen, or the men's football final. Again, the hurling was great and the Camogie was great, so we'll be happy enough with that. But there's work to be done, especially as well when you look down through maybe the different rounds and the likes of the semis and the quarters and some of the encounters throughout the year. We'd love to have a consistent season of a great product, but I don't know if we're quite at that level.
If the Camogie Association went back now to teams like Limerick, Antrim, Down, Derry, and just ask them, like, how do they feel their season went? Like, were they happy with it? Like, what would they like? Would they prefer to play the six teams that were at the bottom of the championship this year, play together, and then progress into maybe a preliminary quarterfinal? Or would they just prefer to keep playing the bigger teams? Like, I know the likes of Waterford and Tipperary have come up through the ranks, maybe through playing those better teams. But my point is, if you go out every day and you're getting absolutely hammered, you're learning absolutely nothing anyway. So I'd love to know, like, what do those teams think if there was a two-tier system in the senior championship? Would they agree with that, or would they prefer to just keep playing the top teams and try to get to their level? Or would they prefer to play competitive games with the six teams that were at the bottom of the championship and try and get into a preliminary quarterfinal?
I agree. And I think it goes back to that traditional thing. Are you willing to change tradition? And the same with the intermediate. I actually didn't even realize that wasn't an official announcement. That's just this rumor that's going around that someone said it. Again, that's not efficient elite kind of professional communication. So even with those teams now, you're creating that little bit of uncertainty with that. But are you willing to break tradition? I think if you don't allow the intermediate, like the likes of Cork, Kenny, Galway, to have an intermediate team, then you're losing that path of players that are coming up. So are you willing again to break tradition and create another competition for them to go to? And then do you include that? Because I think the big carrot at the end of that stick is playing in Croke Park. And if that carrot's not there, then why am I committing all that time to intermediate? I don't know. I'd have to ask an intermediate player. But again, it goes back to what the players want. What are we doing with our product? How are we enticing players to play camogie? Because at the end of the day,
and
the numbers.
Some of those players, like Orla, I looked at some of the scores in the intermediate championship. Like, I don't know, is there a couple of games where Antrim went out and they scored absolutely nothing? Mm-hmm. I was going, like, they had drove down to Kilkenny, they drove down to Kildare. Like, how do you entice a player to do that? Give up their weekends. Young girls, teenagers, who probably could be doing a whole lot more with their time or playing a different sport, maybe where they're reaching some success. So, like, those counties, Antrim, they are trying so hard to promote camogie in their county, and they have some unbelievable players. They won the intermediate not that long ago. But I think the Camogie Association need to help them out in that promotion. Like, that to me this year for them in an intermediate is that's not helping them out to promote their game in Antrim.
I think as well,
I think it's going
I find with the GEA, like, we're getting a bit lazy with promoting our game because it's the number one game. But you look at the Olympics, you look at athletics is going to be the, like, when all kids that are between 7 and 12 hit that 22 mark, we're going to have some serious athletics athletes. But that's the point where we're going to see, I think, a drop off with GEA a little bit with the rugby now. But I haven't seen a GEA player on a billboard around Dublin, a lot of them, in a while. And I don't understand why we're not promoting our players. The likes of Adam Screeny, like, is sensational. Yeah. And he's all over TikTok and Twitter and Instagram. And kids that don't watch hurling are watching Adam Screeny because of who he is and the kind of the hype around him. Why is Adam Screeny not on a billboard? Why is Aoife Donoghue now not on a billboard after that performance? Why is
Tony Kelly?
Exactly. You can name, you could go through, and this is a point beyond.
And their skills, you know, the skills they have, like, I know Anthony Daly was talking about that Tony Kelly video where he did the knocking the ball into the bin. That kind of thing, I think we could really promote, because that's what it's all about now, social media, and kids are looking at all these videos, you know, so things like that, like the skill that some of those players have is just unbelievable. Saoirse McCarthy scored a point there the last day, just like swung it off, like, we, as you say, we need to promote those things, those girls that have all that speed and flair. And, you know, I think there's a lot of really good players out there that we could be shown off, as you say, a whole lot more.
Yeah, I think really good points made. And I'd hope that those conversations happen somewhere, because they probably do need a little bit of a wake up call, all right, about what could be coming down the tracks and how difficult it is to keep girls in the game, to keep people in the sport as well. Because as you said, Emery, there's so much competition out there as well. So let's, while we're on the talking points part of this podcast, let's have a chat about Liz Dempsey and her performance. There was a few controversial calls throughout. Now, I think we'll all agree that refereeing is really difficult, and it probably is something that needs to be looked at in terms of whether or not there needs to be extra officials there to help the referee, because there's so much going on, and thankfully the games are getting faster and more skillful and there's lots happening in them. But just in general then, Anne-Marie, what did you think of Liz's performance in the middle of the pitch?
First half, I thought Liz did a brilliant job with the game, like, let it run, and that's what we're looking for. We want the game to run on. But there's one rule that I think the Camogie Association are going to have to look at, and it's this rule of the player going forward, the back stands up, and if they say, oh, the player going forward has to make a move to go around them. But if the player going forward makes an effort to go around them, the back falls down. That seems to be now a new way of winning a free. Because I felt there were two times in that game, Niamh Kilkenny, she had a free against her from the charging rule, and it ended up that Cork went down the field and Clodagh Finn got a point from it. That was in, I don't know, 43rd or 4th minute, I'm not sure. But it was Aisling Thompson that came in and kind of just jumped into her and fell back in the ground, and it was a free out. And the second one then was the talking point, was Amory Starr's one. Coming forward, I thought she was absolutely sandwiched, and the Cork girl fell to the ground, and she actually let it play on. That time she didn't pull for free. But I think the Camogie Association are going to have to look at that, because I think after the game there was huge controversy because there was two frees there towards the end. And especially the Amory Starr one, if Galway were only 2 points behind at that stage, that would have brought them back to a point. It would have broken that Cork kind of spell as well. And you know, like, it's very disappointing when you're training so hard and a call like that. Like, I think in the run of the match, a call or two kind of go against you. But when it comes down to the final few minutes and it's so close and so tight, when two or three calls like that go against you, it's very hard to take it, especially when it's such a tight final and there was so much at stake.
What about the Katrina Mackey goal, Orla? What did you think?
Yeah, and like, I'm really conscious that these two talking points have overshadowed a really good game. And I think that's the most disappointing thing of when you have two teams or two competitors in any sport, camogie, ladies football, basketball, badminton, rugby, whatever you call it. If they're two elite teams and they've sacrificed so much and it's these tiny calls that are decided. Like, I always think the game is decided by the players. And to me, the result on Sunday was not decided by the players because of that goal, because of the, I had, it's similar to you, Anne-Marie. I had three frees written down that I think would have been scoreable frees, potentially even a goal in one of them. And with the goal, I thought it was interesting. So the problem was there were so many hurleys flying that just nothing made contact with the ball. And there were, like, I know Anna Geary had spoken the live and said that it wasn't brought up. It was actually brought up a couple of times by a number of people, just maybe wasn't communicated to the studio at the time. It was also called about online that it wasn't, there was no contact. But when you look at it, there's, in fairness, there's so many hurls flying. But to me, the ball didn't change direction. And that's where your umpires come in. And again, it goes back to, do we implement something now, with, particularly with hurling and like camogie? You're relying so heavily on your umpires. To me, I really think we need to look at having two referees, but that's another topic for another podcast. But do we even look at having a third umpire behind the goal? Do we even need to have our umpires stationed at the posts? Is there a more efficient position that they stand, you know, where they stand? But to me, it's with a goal like that, any goal that you're just not sure of, do you just discuss it and just discuss it as a group? But it's very disappointing for Galway to see that. But like, they didn't react. There was no big kind of, oh, you know, normally with a goal like that, you might have people turning around being questioning it.
Outraged.
It wasn't. Exactly. There wasn't. And maybe they were just so disappointed at the time, obviously, to let that goal in. But I think for Galway, it's really tough. But I think it goes back to, again, are we doing enough with our officials? Are we doing enough with our umpires? Is there more that we can do? And particularly, I think in hurling, is there more help we can do with the likes of VAR? Like, the way basketball does it at the international level, and it's only available now if the game's on TV. You couldn't do it locally, but there's a challenge. So if you're not sure about a call, you can challenge it. And I'm pretty sure if your challenge stands, you keep your challenge, and if you don't, you lose it. So you're running that risk to keep it to the end of the game. Like that free, say, that could have been a challenge from Galway. They could have got that challenge.
They do in hockey as well.
Exactly. So there's loads of sports that do it. But the problem is it's only those nationally televised games, and it's something we look to the All-Ireland final. But to me, I think hurling and camogie have gotten to that level that we need something, whether it's a second official on the pitch, whether it's VAR or something, because to me, I think big games are decided sometimes on the wrong calls. And that was, to me, a wrong call on Sunday.
The positioning, as you said, though, Orla, if the umpire had actually been standing beside the post, I think she would have seen it. She was behind the goals and she couldn't really see. But if she was standing, because it happened right at the post,
yeah.
So she would have seen it if her positioning, as you say. So again, it's just like when a final comes down to that, that is just absolutely heartbreaking, you know.
Yeah, it's difficult. But I think when you look at Cork and their performance and the players that they had, and like, there wasn't really anybody giving out too much that was on the pitch afterwards as well. So, you know, you have to kind of take that into account as well. And they've been brilliant all year. They were brilliant in the game. Difficult, but
as well, Marie, like, this was their fourth consecutive All-Ireland. So if they had lost on Sunday, they would have lost the last three All-Ireland. They would have won one out of four. But I just went back, like, since 2021, Galway played them in All-Ireland final and beat them by 2 points or 3 points. Cork have kept 17 out of 25 players off that panel. That's huge retention of players. Whereas Galway only had 12 out of 30. Six of the starting team was all Galway had. So Cathal Murray has done so well. Like, his team, I think it's a team that's in transition. He's had a huge turnover of players. And Cork have huge consistency in their management as well. The people that have taken over as managers have been previously involved. Jerry Manley was involved with Matthew Toomey the year before. Matthew Toomey was involved with Paddy before that. So, like, consistency is massive in Cork. They've had huge consistency. And consistency of winning, of course, as well. Getting to All-Ireland Finals. I think it was their eighth All-Ireland Final in 10 years or something like that. They won five of them. So like they have huge consistency in their team and in their winning mentality as well.
Orla, now they're saying things like three in a row, generational sides, all that sort of stuff. But when you look at the intermediate team as well, the players that Cork have, the age profile, the athleticism, what's coming through at underage level as well, we know they're doing great work, that it's not beyond the realms of possibility that this is a Cork side that might become a generational team, and it might become a Cork era for Camogie, a bit like we saw in Limerick with the hurling.
Yeah, that's probably more realistic than people think. You know, who's going to put it up to them? It's up to the rest of the teams to stand up. And, you know, you mentioned, Anne-Marie, I'm so glad you brought up like the consistency, the system on the pitch, but the system off the pitch that Cork have managed to implement, that's not an overnight thing. That, you know, that's been going for a number of years. The way they're setting up, the way they're doing it, I think other counties need to look at it. And we've talked so many times about other counties and their lack of continuity and management and players. And I think other counties need to look at the likes of Cork and see how they're doing it, because this All-Ireland is like, this was planned, this was a process that they stuck to, and the way that they've managed to promote internally, that's really, really clever. And I think it's something we need to look at. We've talked about the retention of management teams as well. How do you entice players? How do you entice management teams? But yeah, certainly think this is going to be a team to watch for the next couple of years, which it's unfortunate for everyone that's not from Cork. But yeah, look, their style of play is fabulous. It's really entertaining. It's exciting for the game. But their players and the personnel that they have are just sensational. And I think they're going to be serious, serious players. But just as well, not to gloss over it, I thought, Marie, you mentioned it, there was no big kind of controversy in Galway. And I have to say, that was very classy of them. They definitely could have. They would have had grounds to give out, but they didn't. And they, you know, you win, it's a great saying, you know, you win with class and you lose with class. And they certainly did that on the day. I just want to make sure I mention that, because
Exactly. It's just all of us giving out about everything. Marie, we know now that Cork are probably in a really good place. The likes of Kilkenny, we're not so sure. It feels like they're in a bit of a transition period there as well, and a little bit of work to be done at underage level and senior level as well, to try and consistently produce players for the top level. A lot of other counties have a bit of work to do as well. What about Galway?
Yeah, I think Galway, you know, what will happen now? Will Cahill stay on? What about some of the players that are involved there? There's a couple of players maybe that might think that they have enough done, and who could blame them? It'll be an interesting, but it's a difficult play, a difficult boots if Cahill resigns. It's difficult boots for someone to come in, because I do feel that they're a team in transition, that they're rebuilding again. And like, you'd have to say Cahill Murray has done an amazing job. Like, he's involved since, came in mid-season 2018. The following year, he won an All-Ireland with Galway. He's gotten to four finals, won two of them, three national leagues, an All-Ireland intermediate title. And what he's done is he's used his intermediate team to blood in new players. Roisin Black was part of an intermediate team. Dervil Higgins was part of an intermediate team. Kira Hickey. There's a plethora of subs that were all involved in intermediate teams. So I think, and it does take a couple of years for those girls to get up to the level of senior. Kira Hickey, I think, has made an unbelievable transition up to. She was, I thought, very, very solid the last day too, and great pace. So it's difficult because, like, similar to Kilkenny, I think Kilkenny are in a rebuilding process too. Tip, like, you'd have to say, kind of looking good. Yeah. They had a minor all year, a minor championship this year. Their junior team, I thought, won, you know, at the end, they came out in the second half and changed their game. You'd have to say Tip Camogie's in a good place. They were devastated not to be in a final this year, so they'll be pushing on next year. But for Galway, I think to take this now, loss is going to be so difficult for them. And what next year will bring depends on what's available in the county, and, you know, what happens in management too as well.
It's actually, when you break it down, it's quite an interesting time for Camogie, because they, Tip, as you said, they are in a better place, but they haven't made that breakthrough that they want to. If they do, we would hope that they'd be up there and they'd stay up there for quite some time, but it feels like it's at a bit of a crossroads. Will there be teams to compete with Cork, or will Cork be out in front in their own? I think the next few years are going to tell quite a lot from that perspective. But when you look at what Galway did and the challenge and just the sheer entertainment of the game, you just hope that there are teams all the time to keep challenging them. But we can't take anything away from them because they just got their house in order. They have everything moving in the right direction. Everybody seems to be pulling together. And I think when you look at the consistency of the management, it just shows that. But like, I really want to echo as well what Orla says, their style of play, like they know what they're doing with every ball, their set pieces, their line balls, their puck outs. Amy Lee, actually, or no, Amy Lee in the goals. She doesn't actually get talked about enough, I think, because she just is so consistent and seems to, like, from her puck outs to her shot stopping, just to her, even her presence, she just seems to have it all, really.
She does, and she complements that system and the way they play. As you say, everyone knows their role and she knows it as well as anyone. But to me, like, the goalkeeper, she's so key for them, and just the way she sets the tone, everything. And you could probably say about a number of players, but you're right to bring her up because I think probably the goalkeeper probably doesn't get enough, don't give the
likes unless they make a mistake.
Unless they make a mistake, and then we talk about on this podcast, because all we do is give out. She's brilliant. And like, I just can't, like, there's a number of players you could probably speak that don't give enough, or don't, positions that don't get enough attention, and she does, and she's so key. And I'm sure she probably will win an All-Star maybe this year. I'm not sure when that'll be, when that'll be announced. Hopefully we have a say in it. She's of paramount importance, that system, absolutely.
Yeah.
Adrian, also, good point, Marie, though, the last time that we were on, like, we're talking about the Cork system, but the skill level that Cork have to implement that system, you know, the athleticism. You have to have all of those things in your back pocket too to be able, like, you can talk about systems all you want, but you have to be able to do it. You have to be able to walk the walk when it comes to it. And like, they had 9 scorers from play the last day, starting 6 forwards scored, 2 subs come on and scored. Like, that is just so impressive. And like, that's been happening all year. They've been so clinical, and their team play. And to be honest, they look like a team that are very unified as well. Now, I do think winning has a lot to do with that. You know, like, it makes it very easy. And if you're getting back to Croke Park, like, you know, promoting Camogie and Cork is a simple job because of the success they have and because of the brilliant ambassadors of Camogie that they have as well, Jennifer. You know, so, like, I do agree with Adrian. Like, it's not just about having a system. You have to be able to implement that system, and you need skill to do that too.
I feel like we're quoting Adrian O'Sullivan way too regularly now on this podcast, but I was going to just say that he also said they're as close to the Limerick Hurlers as a team and a system and the athletes and the skill and just kind of that all round almost perfect storm of having the players and the system and the depth and the tradition and management and all that.
Adrian O'Sullivan thought they were going to beat Galway 12 points, but here we go, like, out, and it could have easily, Galway could have snatched it, or it could have draw. So, like, you know,
put it
there
back
you
in
go.
The box, Anne Marie. What about Orla, the intermediate final? Again, like, a great game. It was so tight. We weren't sure what way it was going to go. It was right in the melt of the pot till the very end. And before the game, we'd highlighted just the Cork defence and again, a full back line, the line that doesn't get talked about often enough. But they just really had the players to stand up and stand up when it mattered. Difficult for Kilkenny, but a great win for Cork and kind of set the tone then for the day with the Inters.
Yeah, they really did. I thought it was a cracking game. I wasn't sure coming into it what it'd be like, but it was brilliant. And you said it did set the tone because they thought the intensity of it was really, like, that was a tough game to be playing. But I thought it was excellent. I really thought it was a great advertisement. I really think there's probably a couple of players now that the likes of Germania are going to look at maybe for the next couple of years to bring up. I think it's so important that they have that stage to be able to play and get competition and good competition. But yeah, I thought it was a brilliant advertisement for the intermediate level. I thought it was a good skill level, but the intensity of it was, I think, was excellent. But as you say, that full back line there, they're indestructible. They're that rock and that standing force. But to have the players, but to stand up, I think, on Ireland final day is a huge task, particularly in that back line when questions are asked for you. But they really did. And I thought around the pitch, they were probably deserving winners on the day, that they had a really excellent team performance.
Fiona Nelligan was great when she came out, wasn't she, Anne-Marie? We were watching her from the box above, and you could just see the energy, the movement. Not the biggest player on the pitch, but so effective. And then when the opportunity came, and it's not easy to do it, she got that really vital point.
Yeah, she did. And like, to be fair, once she came on, she won a free. Before that, she was so busy and full of energy. And like, she seemed to have suffered an injury before the game, and people were just so delighted that when she came on, that she had such an impact. You would have to feel for Kilkenny. Felt if that ball had gone up the line and gone over, it would have been a draw match and they would have had a replay out of it. But I felt the same as you, Orla. I thought the Cork were a small bit better overall. They had a more balanced team. Their full forward line scored 1-4 from play, and on a day when you only scored 111, you know, that was a good return. And Cork, I think, had nearly 10 wides as well, so they probably had more chances than Kilkenny. But Kilkenny will be disappointed too that they didn't even get to a replay. But as I said, and same as what you were saying there, Orla, their full back line, I thought, were immense. They were so tough, and they came out with ball after ball. Laura Doyle and Mavering in the half back line as well, I thought, were really, really solid. So I felt as Cork as a defensive unit, they were very solid overall.
And you could probably say the same for Laois as well in the first game. Just real disappointed for them, because they were, it was a game of two halves really, with Laois having the opportunities, creating the opportunities, but probably not getting enough on the scoreboard, not maximising them enough. Probably a little bit of inexperience there. I'm sure they'll learn a huge amount from it. A bit like Tip did, Orla, when you think that they were there last year and didn't get over the line, and they kind of held that composure and saw off that Laois challenge. But Laois equipped themselves really well all the same, and probably can be happy enough and take a lot from what they learned and hopefully get back up again, because they were well in it as well.
Yeah, certainly. I'm sure for Laois they were heartbroken at the end, because it was completely a game of two halves. Like, the way Tip didn't score from play to the 31st minute, I think, in the first half. They had maybe 2 points from a free or something like that. But I thought their play was excellent from Laois in the first half. I think that ball across, I think that was from Haas, that pass across that won the penalty was unbelievable. I wasn't sure what to expect kind of coming into the game, but that skill levels were good from both teams. But I think, the way Tip just were able to come out, switch it on, and that is so hard to do and just get over the line. But to me, I thought Laois gave a great account of themselves. Mm-hmm. Even, I think there was an interview after the game, I can't remember exactly who it was, but they mentioned, you know, Tip only had two players, I think, from last year, but that even drove the team on. And no matter how many players step away from that Laois team, that will drive them on next year. And it's given the younger girls in Laois a chance to look and see there's a pathway there and get up to intermediate level, because I thought the skill levels were there, and they're certainly a team to watch for next year's championship. They're probably, in my head, already favourites.
Yeah, I think
the teams that lost the three finals on Sunday will be so bitterly disappointed. Like Laois, I think in particular, you know, they counted about maybe 1-4 that they missed before in the second half, like towards the end of the first half, sorry. And they could have gone in like way ahead if they wanted to. And then Tipperary, crucially, they didn't score until the 30th minute, but I think they got 3 points there. They only 1 point on the board. They got 3 points right before half time. So that left them with a smaller hill to climb when they came out. And I was disappointed for Laois now, because they played so well in the first half. And then they came out, and Tip basically just brought some intensity and aggression in the second half. You'd have to say that Jenny Grace on freeze, she scored 3 in the first half, 4 in the second half. And that kept Tip in touch when there was nothing happening for them. So I think she was an important player for them at the weekend. But Bill Mullaney was fair excited afterwards. But just again, I really do feel for the teams. I've been there on a few occasions, unfortunately. I really do feel that sick feeling now for the next couple of days and weeks. To lose an All-Ireland by a point or two is just, it's just a tough one. But you know what? I think Laois have a young team. That's the only thing. And, you know, there seems to be great excitement about this team in Laois. They're at 30, 31 at training, whereas the last 2 years, I think they were down to 16 and 17. So I think Pat Collier has brought a great, maybe enthusiasm for Camogie again in Laois.
Yeah, and look, they're going to be able to, they've so much to build on. They'll be able to take away so many good things from the game that they did. It was just that Tip team, they were waiting. I just felt they were waiting in the long grass for that second half to come. And I knew that Bill Mullaney would have something to say to be able to get them over the line. And it was a great day. So enjoyable. Every single bit of it, I have to say. The two preceding matches before the final were brilliant. So tight and entertaining. And then that final was great stuff altogether. So thank you so much to Orla for all season, for being brilliant, as you always are. And Anne-Marie as well, for popping in and out whenever we needed you. So really appreciate it. So, and everybody else as well who's been watching and listening throughout the championship. You haven't seen The Last of Us, we'll be back. We're not sure when, but we will be back. And we're going to take a little bit of a break, but you can find this podcast and all of our podcasts on the RTE Sport YouTube channel and wherever else you get your podcast. Bye for now.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
What I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. It's over the bar.